Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. Hearing the Word of God is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent. It's a southeastern suburb of the City of London, and I'd like to encourage you to come along to one of our worship services. We meet each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. If you don't live in our area, however, why not go to our website, lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory page, and find the nearest Lutheran congregation to where you live. Again, I encourage you to go and pay them a visit. I know you'll receive a warm welcome. I'd also like to encourage you to go to lutheranradio.co.uk and check out all the programs that are run here on Lutheran Radio. There you can go to our archives and find all kinds of podcasts of shows that have been run in the past from the Lutheran Inquisitor or from all the programs here on Lutheran Radio UK. Again, we encourage you to take advantage of that, and we pray they will be a great blessing to you. Today we'd like to welcome to Lutheran Radio UK Dr. Christoph Barnbrook. He is Professor of Practical Theology at the Seminary of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany, the Hochschule in Oberursel, near Frankfurt. Recently, Dr. Barnbrook gave the keynote address at the Synodical Convention of the ZELK on the topic of hearing the Word of God. We are pleased to welcome him as we discuss that very same theme today. Now, Dr. Barnbrook, what do you mean when you speak about hearing the Word of God?
Well, that's really interesting because it means so many and so different things. Because, I mean, if you say you'll listen to something, it's a differentiation we don't have in Germany, actually, listen and to hear. But we use the same word. We say we hear something and we would use the same word, hören, for listening as well. So you have a small advantage against us Germans that you can have this differentiation. I think it's really wonderful to see that hearing is the first thing a human being is able to do already in the womb of his mother. I think after 4 or 5 months, a person can hear everything. It's really wonderful. But as you know from everyday life situations, it can be very different. I mean, sometimes I listen very carefully to something. And sometimes my wife is telling me, hey, did you listen to what I said? And somehow I heard what she said, but I don't exactly listen to what she said. So you can see there's really kind of different things what could be meant by listening or by hearing.
The term hearing or listening does appear regularly in the Bible. So can you give us some examples to help us understand why hearing is such a significant concept throughout the Scriptures?
I mean, you find it throughout the Bible. I mean, for example, you have it in Deuteronomy 5:6 that God is calling his promised, his elected to his people, Israel. Hear, Israel. So he's commanding that Israel should listen to the words God is telling them and that he is the only God for the people. So that is kind of the basic confession for Israel, that they know they have this one God. And that begins with listening to God and to God's word. And if we turn to the New Testament, I mean, we come to Jesus' words. For example, when he says that he is the good shepherd and his flock is able to listen to his voice and that they are able to understand who is the right and who is the false shepherd. I mean, that are the important parts, for example, where you can see how important listening to God and to God's word is.
And Jesus, after many of his parables, is heard to have said, let him who has ears hear.
Exactly, yeah. And that, I mean, there you can find that it's not just kind of listening or just say, hey, yeah, I know in church people are talking about Jesus. I think that would be kind of hearing without really listening, without focusing on what Jesus is really saying.
And what about Lutherans? we tend to think that Lutherans place a very high priority on listening to God's Word. Is that really an important emphasis in the teachings of Luther?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Luther himself can relate to this word of Jesus in the Gospel of St. John's when he's saying, hey, that's the church. The church are the sheep who listen to the voice of the shepherd. So that's how he is defining church. He said, it's not the Pope, it's not specific rites, but it's people who listen to the voice of the good shepherd. And in general terms, I would say hearing has lots of, is pretty similar to what we say what believing is. Because, I mean, we say as Lutherans that if a person believes in Jesus Christ, in the triune God, he can't do that out of his own power because he is so intelligent or because he tries so hard, but because it's a gift from God. And actually, it's kind of the same thing with a hearing. If nobody else is talking, I never ever can listen to the other persons. So I'm receptive and have to wait that the other one is talking to me. And the same with faith. I can't believe before God is talking to me through his word, and I can cling with my faith to his word.
One of the great things I think about Lutheran theology is that we believe, teach, and confess that God is a God who wants to communicate with his creation, and especially us human beings.
And actually, it's pretty dangerous for him, because, I mean, communicating always means that people perhaps misunderstand something. And God says, hey, but I love you so much that I communicate with you even though I know that you might misunderstand my word. So it's kind of a way God is going to us to help us to come in our life as Jesus Christ became man. He is not staying in heaven above and saying, hey, come on, I will show you everything, but he's communicating. And he's even risking that we misunderstand him.
So how do we know that God is speaking to us? Where should we go to make sure that we are really listening to God and hearing him speak to us?
Actually, there are lots of places where God is speaking to us. But obviously, the place where we hear lots of God's word is the worship service on Sunday mornings. Because our worship services in the Lutheran Church are packed from references and from readings from the Bible. It's not just the readings you have from the letters from the apostolic time or the Gospels, but you have lots of references, for example, in the Blessing or in the Sanctus. They are almost all taken from the Scriptures. And so a whole world is opening up in the worship service, which is built from words from the Bible.
Would that also include the hymns and the prayers offered up to God by his people?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you look carefully to the hymns, you will see that they are taken from biblical language and proclaimed for their times and for our times as well.
So a member of the congregation sitting there in their pew or their chair, how should we approach the worship service? What should be our attitude?
That is a really important question, because I think everybody has kind of an idea how it has to be. For example, some people think, hey, if I am a good listener to a sermon, I have to focus on what the preacher is saying from the very first to the very last sentence. Or I have to understand everything. Obviously, it's helpful if you stayed focused on what the preacher is saying and if you try to concentrate on it. But it's not the only way to listen to a sermon. But some people, for example, have a critical approach. They are saying, hey, I really want to get what's happening, and I want to see if that's really fitting to what I've experienced. And so that's their approach. Other people say, hey, for me, it's enough to have one important idea I can take with me home in the next week which is kind of an important idea by which my faith can grow and I can go walk on my way as a Christian. And there are even other people who would say, hey, I wouldn't even say that I would be able to repeat everything the preacher has said, but somehow he has taken me in God's world. And I didn't really focus on what exactly he said, but I got that, that he said, yeah, God loves me and, that I can rely on that. And so there are three different approaches. And I think sometimes it's helpful if I don't say, hey, there's only one way how to listen, but that there are different approaches to hearing.
In your presentation, you also spoke about a study conducted in Germany about how people come to church services with certain expectations about what the sermon should be. Could you tell us about what that study has discovered?
They made a study with which expectations people come to an evangelical worship service. And it's really interesting to see how different they are as well. For example, one of those approaches is, or the expectations is, that people say, hey, the sermon should be an explanation of a biblical text. I want to understand better what the Apostle Paul has written to the Galatians, for example. Others would say, hey, no, for me, it's much more important that I get an idea what I should do the next week. How should I live as a Christian? That's what I would like to have said in a sermon. A third one would say, hey, for me, it's important that somehow also my emotions are somehow attached, that I'm not sad anymore because I'm so depressive, and I would like to hear the good news so that I can feel more happy than I am usually. And still others would say, hey, for me it's important to get a very clear message that I know, hey, this is what the Lord says and this is where I can hold on with my faith. So there are different approaches. I mean, it's always kind of a problem if you ask people what they expect. It's always kind of the danger that you say, hey, then I have to do it that everybody is pleased. I mean, you never ever can do that by preaching. But I think it's helpful to at least realize that people hear in those different ways.
So as a pastor preparing to preach to the congregation, are you also listening to God? And how can you listen to God to make sure that what you are saying is what he really wants you to say?
I think this is kind of a problem, because as a pastor, as a preacher, you are pretty often in the situation that you have to produce something. You have to produce a sermon, you have to produce perhaps prayers, you have to produce presentations for the women's club or whatever. You're always producing. And I really think it's important that you as a pastor that you are also a hearer, a listener to God's word, so that you every once in a while listen to other people's sermons, for example, or that you take your time to read in your Bible, not just to prepare the next sermon, but just to listen what God is telling us. And so it's really the basis for preaching to others is to listening yourself. Yeah.
What might be some of those obstacles that get in the way of us truly hearing God's word?
I would say actually probably most or the biggest obstacle is the way we deal with things in our time. I mean, we watch lots of videotapes and we live in a visual time, and then it's really hard to listen to something because we are not used to listen to longer readings or to a sermon anymore. I mean, where do you have to do that? But in church. Only in church. So that is probably one of the great obstacles, just on a technical level. And then I would say, hey, I mean, that it's a hard time to listen. It's always also a question of us with a spiritual dimension. I mean, we are not able to listen because we are sinful men. And Satan is interested in the fact that we don't listen. And so he's trying to draw our attention from listening to God's word, to listen to everything, but not to God's word.
You mention how good sermons communicate God's message to us. But I wonder if the flip side is also true. Do bad sermons, bad hymns, and bad liturgy negatively affect our ability to hear God's word?
Yeah, both is true. I mean, by the grace of God, he can even work through bad sermons and bad songs and bad read readings. I mean, that's the merciful God, that he's even working through that. But I think it's our responsibility to make it not harder for people than necessary to listen and to focus. And the clearer the message is, the more likely it should be, at least in as far as we youths can see it, that people can believe and cling to the message. But it's no guarantee if you have a great sermon. It's no guarantee that 10 people say, hey, now I believe. And even if you have a poor sermon, God will work through that. So it's not what we do as human beings, but it's what God is working through his word.
You spoke about when we hear God's word. So when we do, are we active or passive in this activity?
I mean, I said we are firstly we are passive because we depend on somebody who is talking. I mean, if nobody is talking, I can't listen to anybody else. So I mean, that's the first thing, and I'm passive when I'm listening. But on the other hand, when I listen to somebody, I become active as well because I relate what I hear to my experiences, to the fact that I have listened to this word a couple of years ago. For example, the word of God for my confirmation, when that is part of the reading, I mean, I always relate and say, hey, yeah, that is my confirmation words. And I think of how I was confirmed. So it's not just, I don't only listen to that reading, but I relate it. I'm able to relate is to my own experiences, to when I have heard it before. Sometimes that I say, hey, I don't understand it. So that's kind of a reaction as well, an active reaction. So it's actually an active process as well.
So when we've heard God's word, does he also desire that we share that word with others?
Yeah, exactly. Actually, I found a nice quotation from a colleague of mine. Listening and understanding is not to repeat the words the other one has said, but to understand what he meant and what that means for me, for my person, what God is telling me, and that I'm able to tell others. So that is understanding, not just repeating, but to being able to say how important it is for me and being able to tell it others.
To conclude then, Dr. Barnbrook, let me ask you a question. I know a number of our listeners are regular attenders at the Divine Service. So, could you give us some tips on how we might be good passive and active listeners as we come into the worship service each Sunday morning or Wednesday evening or Thursday at midnight or whenever it is we come and sit in our pews so that we might best be prepared to participate in the Divine Service? So, we might be able to try and clear our minds so that we can really listen to what God is trying to say to us through the liturgy, through the hymns, through the prayers, and through the preaching of the word.
As I said, it's also kind of a spiritual issue. If I'm able to focus on things, so of course the prayer to God that he might open my ears and my heart for his word would be one spiritual idea how to start a worship service and to get into it. So I think that's the most important part. If you really ask for a practical tip what to do, my experience is in that moment where people know that they have, for example, to talk about what they heard. afterwards, or that they have to write down something, it's more helpful, or they can better focus on what they hear than if they know, oh, I will never talk about it, or I don't have to write anything down. So, for example, to have a sermon diary could be an idea, so that on Sunday evenings, for example, you sit down at home and you write in three lines what have been the most important ideas you took from the sermon from Sunday morning, or that you talk about what you have listened to in the worship service at the table at lunchtime, at Sunday at noontime, and those could be some ideas.
I remember my first parish. I used to have this little lady who would come in every Monday morning with a whole list of questions about the sermon I'd preached the day before. She would ask, did I really hear you right, Pastor? Can you clarify that for me?
Actually, that's wonderful if that happens. I mean, it's obviously for a preacher, for a pastor, sometimes a little bit irritating because you say, hey, didn't I say everything very clearly? So why do you have to ask all those questions? But actually, I mean, it's wonderful because that is what sermons are all about. It's not something which has to be said, but it's a dialogue you want to start. You are proclaiming God's word and people should react to it. And if somebody comes on Monday morning and say, hey, I'll listen to what you said, and those are my questions, or those are my ideas, I mean, that's the best thing which can happen, because something has started, and that's exactly what sermons are all about, that God starts things through his word.
We would also like to take this opportunity to ask you about the teaching that you do at the Hochschule, the theological institution of our sister church, the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany. So, would you mind telling us a little bit about what you do there?
We have in our seminary, it's actually the first part of the training of young pastors in our Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church. Usually, young people study for 6 years until their first examination, and usually they stay for the first 2.5 years in Oberursel at the seminaries. There they learn the ancient languages, so Latin, Hebrew, Greek, and they get the basics in their theological training. And then usually they attend one of the state universities to study evangelical theology at those universities. And for the last 1.5 or 2 years, they come back to the seminary to prepare for their final examination. So that's the system. And after that, we have 2.5 years of vicarage where they have their practical training. So after about 8.5, 9, sometimes even 10 years, people are kind of finished with their training. And I'm teaching in the field of practical theology. So my classes are on preaching. So that's why I'm thinking and talking about that and about liturgy, liturgics, and how to teach. That's the third field, and pastoral care would be also part of what I teach. And the fifth thing is the reflection on what I do as a pastor. So what is my role? What could be conflicts I could get in to reflect all those things as well.
Dr. Christoph Barnbrock, we are very thankful to you for sharing with us some wonderful insights into how we can listen to and truly hear God's word. May God continue to bless you in your work as you prepare pastors for service in the ministry of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church of Germany in their seminary at Oberursel. We rejoice in the wonderful fellowship that we share with the Zelk, and we pray that God would continue to strengthen those ties. And we thank you again for being our guest on the Lutheran Inquisitor.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.